Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and this is going to be a fascinating show about an ancient art of working with numbers, not numerology. This is working with a very special design of numbers, and it's not human design. We've done many shows about that. This is something new that we haven't done a show about before, and yet it's very ancient, and it comes from Europe. And I'm so glad to know the authors of a book about this that just came out via Simon & Schuster. And it's a wonderful opportunity to get to know ourselves better and each other because of the magic of these numbers. And so I'm very happy to have one of the authors of the book in the studio with me, Thomas Popp.
Everybody, I'm happy to be here too.
Yeah.
Especially about your courage to invite me.
No, it's so great to have you here explaining what this is all about. And I met you at a panel discussion that we were both on the panel together, mm-hmm. and I was fascinated by what you had to say, and I started to play with these numbers and this design that is set up to hold the numbers, and I found it brilliant. And it's no surprise that it's brilliant because it's lasted how long?
Well, my wife has grown up with it from day one, and it's been in that family for as far as they can remember back. It's an authentic, it's an original knowledge, the origin of which cannot be pinned down, because it was a silent knowledge. It wasn't talked about in that family, and for reasons we can talk about maybe later.
No, I'm actually happy to talk about how your wife came into this knowledge, because mm-hmm. it's a fascinating story that she learned it through her grandfather.
Through her grandfather and also through the mother. Because the mother was the one who gave the little signs how to use this knowledge. It was a farming family. It was a very big family. There were 10 siblings. And this knowledge was a part of a more general, of a bigger tome, so to speak, of ancient knowledge that these farmers needed to survive. But as I said, this was silent knowledge. This wasn't talked about because in Austria, and especially in Tyrol, where this family lived, the Catholic Church is still the boss. And they would have regarded this knowledge as superstition, as paganism, and they would have shunned that family. The family would have to move out of that village.
So they kept it secret.
They kept it secret to the point that to an extreme, to put it this way. The extreme is that I was living already for 10 years with Johanna without even noticing that she knows that. The only thing that I noticed was that she had a photographic memory of birth dates. There was hardly a day passing by where she didn't say, well, this and that person's birthday today, let's call him, or maybe send him a letter or whatever. And what I didn't know is that she can see birth dates, as it were, in color in 3D, in CinemaScope. And it was a certain moment in her in our relationship where I went one step further. And that step was in a certain situation where my daughter behaved in a way towards my other daughter where I was just desperate, because she just doesn't understand the other one, doesn't treat her right. And Johanna said, well, that's not a surprise if you look at her numbers.
And all of a sudden, it was a revelation.
Well, the revelation was very slow one. It took me all in all between that moment and the moment when we passed on the manuscript to the publishing house. It was 2 years.
Wow, that was fast. You're a quick learner.
Thank you very much.
And, but let's go back a little bit, because mm-hmm. I love the story of this farming family
yeah.
that mm-hmm. kept things under wraps mm-hmm. for generations.
That's it.
And yet, Johanna had a relationship with her grandfather,
mm-hmm.
and her grandfather was limited in his ability to speak.
Oh. Yeah, that's a very fascinating story for me and for many journalists that kept asking us, how can it be that you write 10 books about a knowledge that a girl acquired between the age of 1 and 14? And
we haven't
stopped yet.
So Johanna acquired the knowledge, all of this great mm-hmm. knowledge, mm-hmm. from between 1 and 14 years old.
Exactly.
And yet, it's hard to imagine children needing to, or feeling that they needed to learn such deep stuff.
Maybe I tell just quickly the story how that came about.
Sure.
In that family, it was customary that a baby stayed for a year on the side of the mother in the parents' bed, and then for a year on the side of the father. And in the third year, she had to move out to the other children in their rooms. And the first year with Johanna worked super. The moment she had to cross over to the father's side, she started to scream. And she didn't stop. And that's not possible in a farming family. They have to get up very early. They need their sleep. So the decision was, let's put her to grandfather's room, who had his own room, and who was deaf. That was a cool solution
yeah.
for everybody.
He could sleep through her screams.
Exactly. The funny thing is, the interesting thing is that the moment she came to grandfather's room, she stopped screaming.
Uh-huh.
And that was the moment when the teaching, as it were, began. And the teaching was a very close one. It happened sometimes that grandfather woke her up at the age of 3, 3 and a half or something. That started at 4 in the morning to go out into the woods, into the forest, into the fields, and to collect certain herbs at a certain time. And Johanna was a little bit secretive about how that communication came about. But today I know that they hardly ever talked, because when grandfather is deaf, there's no reason to talk. But the communication was instant and immediate. They didn't need words. And once a communication is that intimate, knowledge just flows.
And it wasn't sign language.
No.
It was telepathic.
It was really just that, telepathic.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing to imagine. Now, the reason Johanna is not in the studio talking with us is mm-hmm. that her English isn't as good, because mm-hmm. Both of you are from Austria.
Yeah, right.
And so this is, it's fascinating to know that this is knowledge that comes from time
mm-hmm.
and from culture in ways that were supportive of that culture.
You're right.
And so, in particular, we want to talk about the code. Mm-hmm. This is a birthday code, and it uses the numbers of the birth date. And I'm fascinated by it. I know that your work is much more than even the mm-hmm. code, but the code is a great handle for people to help themselves and each other and know ourselves better.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works. I know you can describe it, but I'm kind of new at it, and I'm excited that there are. It comes in a structure of 5 circles,
mm-hmm.
and each circle contains 2 of the 10 numbers,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a circle on the north, the south, the east, and the west, and there's a circle in the middle, so it's 5 circles. And each one has two numbers in it, mm-hmm. based on one to 0 to 9, basically. Mm-hmm. And the numbers are always in the same circle. Mm-hmm. So let's say the circle on the left is a circle that has a 9 and a 4 in it. Mm-hmm. And it's actually always the color white.
Yes.
And for instance, the circle on the right has an 8 and a 3 in it, and it's always the color green. And I'll just go through them quickly. The circle mm-hmm. on top has a 6 and a 1, and that's either purple or it's known as black sometimes, right?
We would say simply black or blue.
Black or blue, okay. Mm-hmm. And then on the bottom is, that top has a 6 and a 1, mm-hmm. and then the bottom has a 7 and a 2, and that's red, and the middle has a 0 and a 5, and that's yellow.
Exactly.
And it just looks very nice and simple, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it's quite profound.
We were very curious to find out if that structure exists anywhere on this planet. Because as far as I know, it's new. I haven't found anything similar to it in the internet or via research. The only thing that we heard was that a shaman in Mali uses the same system, uses the same numbers, the same structure, but he uses for different ends. And that was it so far.
Well, that in itself says a lot, mm-hmm. if someone has the same structure and the same numbers. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating that could happen.
So, can I explain a little bit what these numbers were used for? The thing is, you may know that all over the world, farmers were always the last ones in the social ladder. So this piece of knowledge was used as a little bit of a self-defense, because the numbers in a birth date that tell you immediately in what way to support that child, in what way to further it, in what way to help it into a certain profession. And that was very important for the farmers, because then they didn't waste energy. They didn't waste time with a detour, so to speak, in the education of a child.
And that's so interesting, because I've been playing with these numbers, mm-hmm. As a novice to it, but it's you quickly get a sense of what's going on. And I briefly told you about this story that mm-hmm. a man came to see me, and he was an Orthodox Jew who yeah. believed that he needed to study Torah all the time, mm-hmm. and he was very engrossed in it and loved it and wanted his children to also be the same. So he has a son who is not interested in studying Torah. And he came to me and said, what can I do? I need to, he's about to be bar mitzvahed. He needs to study Torah. He needs to, and he needs to love it. I want him to really be like me. So I said, well, let's look at your birth dates. And he had all sixes and ones.
Which is the very good studier and the vision and the grasping of concepts very fast.
Right. And by the way, when people put their birth dates into these numbers, if you're born in the 1900s, the 19 doesn't count. So there's only six possible numbers to choose from. So he had all of them going on in the top. His son had basically all of them going on in the left one, the 9 and the 4. And so his son had no interest in all of that studying and grasping ideas
but
quickly.
Not only that, if one has 9 and 4s, then one a child with that structure doesn't like at all to be told anything. They
right.
want to find out by themselves. And even if they land one day with the same track, the same trade as the parents have, but they want to have the feeling that they arrived there by their own resources, so to speak.
Uh-huh. And it's actually the 9 and the 4 are in the left are actually, they have some financial strength,
mm-hmm. That's
too.
It. Yeah. And the 9 and the 4 are people who who are most of their lives in the black figures. They hardly ever are overly generous, so to the point of self-destruction.
Okay.
Put it back, Dad.
They keep their money.
That's it.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And yet there's so many aspects to this, because I know that you also say that if you don't have a 9 or a 4, and you're interviewing for you're trying to sell things, or mm-hmm. you're interviewing for a job or whatever, it's the white circle, so you should wear white.
Exactly. You can work with the colors. Each number has a color vibration, so to speak, to it. But it's not really necessary that you wear something in that color that you are missing or that you want to emphasize. It's enough if you have a little piece of colored paper with you, or cloth or whatever, and just to reinforce it, you write the numbers on it, and then you wear it somewhere on you. That's enough to have the effect.
Because it's the intention.
That's it. Intention, but also the color vibration works through anything. It doesn't need light to fall on it to work.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you about one of the circles here and mm-hmm. the numbers in it that to me is harder to grasp, and it's the circle on the right with the 8 and the 3 mm-hmm. because not everybody has that.
No,
true. A lot of people are missing a bunch of circles.
Absolutely.
And the one on, so the 8 and the 3, if you have an 8 and a 3 in your birth date somewhere, it means that you've got this circle covered.
So, yeah. And the qualities accompanying it.
Right. And that's the point. So it's not so much what you have that fascinates me. Mm-hmm. It's what you haven't mm-hmm. that fascinates me.
Yeah.
So if people are born and they don't have an 8 and a 3, what does that say about them? Now, first, let's give the general understanding of what that green circle, yeah. the 8 and 3, means.
8 and 3, that's the general capacity of emotions, of being able to put yourself into other people's shoes, to empathize. It's the musical talent, a basic musical talent. It's also a basic talent for anything connected with healing, with true healing. So if you don't have an 8 and a 3 in your birth date, those qualities come harder if you turn your attention to them, if you want to learn it.
Might it be also harder to heal yourself?
That's a question. Healing yourself is a mental process, and mental strength is distributed in all numbers, but in different variation. It's not more difficult. What is more difficult if you lack an 8 and 3 is a basic understanding who somebody else is. You have a harder time to understand people's motives. And, of course, then you sometimes don't understand your own motives because they are so surprising sometimes.
So it actually has a lot to do with human interaction.
Yeah.
Rather than empathy.
No, it's truly empathy. It's
right, but it's empathy about getting it about others mm-hmm. in a way that you can manage the process better. It's not about necessarily only feeling. In other words,
true.
You know,
yes.
If I'm only feeling somebody else's pain, let's
correct.
Say.
It can be even go to an extreme. If, for example, you have an 8 and a 3 in your birthday and you are put in a position where you have to deal with a lot of people constantly, if you are put in a position of dealing with customers or with you are in a service position, that can overwhelm you because you feel much more immediately what's going on with your mm-hmm. opposite person, and not only concerning the subject matter that you're talking about, but maybe even with their whole lives, even if you do that on the telephone. So you have to sometimes guard yourself against that capacity.
Mm-hmm. Now, These numbers have different weights to them also.
The weight comes in when you look at the individual value of a number. For example, if you have just one 7 in your birth date, that gives you a lot of movement, passion. You normally like to dance, and you're more charismatic as other people without the 7. But if you have two of them, that is a value of twice 7, that's 14. And all values above 10 have a tendency to go to the extreme of the qualities attached to the numbers. So, but it's not only the individual value of a number, and if you add them, it's also where do you find a number in your birth date. For example, a 7 in the year that you are born, if you were born, let's say, in 67.
Or 70, not 77, that would even be too much.
Yeah, that would be too much. Let's say 67, that 7 has more value, it has more weight than a 7 from the day, like the 7th of March or whatever. Uh-huh. And it's the year, the number of the year that you're born in gives you a little bit something like a life theme. It shows you what would be a really super direction for
so,
you.
So, for instance, you know, I'm thinking of Chinese astrology, mm-hmm. and the animals and you know, I'm born into the year of the horse. Mm-hmm. So everybody born in my year has the same animal, and they also have it's a 4-2. That's how old I am. and so anyone my year has the 2 on the bottom in the bottom circle and the 4 mm-hmm. in the left circle, so they're going to have those traits in their lives.
They have the qualities and the traits. They have it in their treasure trove. What happens after birth? How you actualize? How you realize that little treasure? That's up to many, many influences from the side, from above, from the zeitgeist, from parents, from teachers.
Conditioning.
So, conditioning in whatever way.
Right.
And also, very important, your own personal decision. It's not only that we are a piece of plastic that can be shaped from all sides, it's also us ourselves that say yes or no to a given capacity that we bring into this life.
Right, but there are tendencies.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, mm-hmm. and that's what this is about, what's
yeah.
our tendency.
Mm-hmm.
So people born in 1977, mm-hmm. how about July,
fiery year.
July 17th, 1977?
That's it. You should follow people like that a little closer and see how it worked out. With that much fiery energy, with that much wanting to move, and sometimes it can backfire, so to speak, and those people become more like couch potatoes, even just to defend themselves against that much energy grumbling inside. But
yeah.
the moment, the beautiful thing about this book is the moment they read it, it's as if it helps like a memory prop. It helps them remember what the basic dreams were that they brought into this life. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about this book. That's one thing. And the other thing is it helps you understand other people much better. I mean, for me, it was a revelation to squeeze that knowledge out of my wife, because I have 3 kids who are so different that they come from 3 different planets. And up to this book, up to this knowledge, I was one of those parents who tried to educate my kids to be like me, and that they think like me, that they have the same philosophy, even choose the same, vote for the same political party, and that's, I mean, there's a simple effect that has, and that's an alienation. My kids didn't feel respected unconsciously, and I thought I'm a bad parent, because they stopped coming to me with important questions. And then slowly, with this system, I saw I'm totally crazy. I'm trying to turn a tiger into a turtle, and that simply doesn't work. For me, it was much easier than to stand back and accept. And today, my son is moving into a direction that is so foreign to everything that I've ever done in my life. But at the same time, I think, oh, how interesting. It's a different planet. Great, let's have a look at it.
He was born on a different birthday.
Absolutely.
And even though they have our genes, they have different birth dates. Mm-hmm. And so I love the opportunity, because it's a very quick system. It's profound. So I also work with the human design system, and that's much more complex, and many intricate details that are helpful, very, very, extremely helpful. And it's nice to have something actually that you can look at fairly quickly. I mean, anybody can give you a birth date, and probably within 5 seconds, you understand.
Yeah, we predicted already that when this book is out in Germany, where it is a big success, people will be very much more careful with passing on their birth dates to anybody. Because it's very revealing. But it's a very positive revelation. It's as if somebody opens up and says, this is my gift. These are my gifts. And he may not see them himself, but I see them now and can help a little bit for him to uncover it.
Right. I mean, there's two ways of looking at this. And I like looking at what it says for you rather than what it says you're missing.
Exactly.
Because let's go with our strengths.
True.
And let's forgive our weaknesses, too. Because not everybody's going to have that fire in them.
Yeah. I'm the best example for forgiving in this case. I mean, for me, it was a step forward in our family that everybody treasures back home.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it's nice to be appreciated.
Once again.
Once again, right. After you didn't understand. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I look at this in terms of couples, they bring different strengths to a relationship, and then they expect the other person, they want to change the other person to be more like them.
Yeah.
And this is so easy right away to understand that, you can't do that. And, my wife and sons have similar circles and numbers in their charts, and I'm the different one.
Not that you knew.
Yeah, I'm always different. But I have, my numbers actually fit in every circle.
That's very rare, and it's a gift, and at the same time a challenge.
Right, because there's no particular focus.
That's it.
And I'm all over the place. That's why I can have so many different guests on my show.
Yeah, right. True.
So we only have a couple of minutes left, and how can we identify you and reach you and all of that, and buy books? And
The books are wherever good books are sold. You can even download it. But to get a little bit of a taste for what's coming to you if you buy it, there Simon & Schuster has set up a website for the book, and it's called simply www.birthdaycode.com.
And yet the book is called The Code.
Yes.
And yet the website is called Birthday Code.
Yes.
Okay, that's clear. And then go there and get a quick reading.
Yeah, and maybe my name, so you can...
Right, sure.
So the people who sell it at the bookstore know what to look up. My name is Thomas Poppe, P-O-P-P-E.
How do you pronounce it? Because I'm not...
Thomas Poppe.
Poppe.
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure how that worked.
If I stay in America, I may change the E with a Y. So I know it's just like the flower.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm glad to know that, because I keep relating to you as Thomas. And it's co-written with Johanna
Paunger.
Paunger.
We kept the name because that's the name under which all our books are known. We are married now, Johanna Poppe, but
okay.
In former times, long time ago, 20 years ago.
Johanna Paunger.
Mm-hmm.
So Thomas Poppe.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being a guest on
Thanks for the invitation Spirit. Again.
So much fun talking with you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.